applying the CI model. The continuous improvement CI model can be used to analyze, assess, plan, and implement changes that will improve the supply chain and its people and processes. The CI model we're using here, shown in Exhibit 4-37, builds upon other supply management concepts, such as benchmarking and change management. Exhibit 4-37, Continuous Improvement Model. Stage 1, Process Analysis. The initial step in continuous improvement requires taking a hard look at internal and external supply chain design to find locations where waste or non-value-added activities could occur. Stage 2, Process Assessment. This stage involves reviewing the various key performance indicators, KPIs, that are being or might be used to measure how the supply chain is performing. Benchmarks can be used to set a specific performance goal, such as reducing manufacturing time along the supply chain by a set percentage. Stage 3, Project Planning. Next, a realistic schedule for the design, development, and review of the proposed supply chain change is developed. Responsibilities and accountability are assigned, needed resources are identified, and a budget and schedule are created and approved. Specific commitments from stakeholders should be gathered so that the design is understood and supported. Stage 4, Implementation and Change Management. Once the design is completed, it will need to be implemented. Implementation feedback should be used to improve the process prior to sharing it with other internal stakeholders or supply chain partners. Each supply chain entity needs to know how making this change will contribute to the supply chain's overall success and its ability to meet customer satisfaction. The entities also need to know how to fulfill their roles and responsibilities in the new supply chain design. Personnel improvement. Personnel improvement involves working to develop supply chain personnel's knowledge, skills, and abilities over time. Knowledge is the information needed to perform a task correctly. Skills are behavior changes in how a person performs tasks. Abilities are a person's current capacity to perform necessary job tasks and apply relevant knowledge and skills. This improvement normally happens informally as people gain experience doing their jobs, but a formal system can help challenge individuals and allow organizations to measure progress. Investing in personnel improvement also directly helps improve supply chain effectiveness and efficiency because it increases worker consistency and reduces learning curves. While poorly trained operators tend to be inconsistent in achieving standard work times, trained personnel tend to be able to meet or exceed standards. Workers who are used to training and retraining will have lower learning curves when learning new skills. Their output reaches desired levels more quickly. When designing training, it is important to understand that different individuals have different learning styles. Visual learners learn best when pictures or graphics are available and the purpose and method of the training are well laid out. Tactile learners desire hands-on training opportunities. Auditory learners have better results when they are told the information rather than just reading it. In addition, adult learners prefer self-directed learning and need to know why the learning is needed and beneficial. Effective adult motivators include presenting learning as a way of solving a problem and giving learners a chance to apply their experience. Finding ways to empower individuals and help them believe that they can succeed are powerful levers for any learner. Another source of motivation is a formal system of employee goal setting and management review. Each supply chain manager will mutually set training or learning goals for a period of time with his or her superior and also review progress toward prior goals. It is important to involve the learner in goal setting to get buy-in. A career path laid out with the necessary knowledge, skills, and abilities clearly communicated as minimum requirements can be a strong motivator. Training can be internal or external, formal or informal. Some examples of training delivery methods are discussed next. This area concludes with a discussion of evaluating training effectiveness, informal, on the job, and cross-training. Informal training involves regular interactions between individuals and other daily experiences. It is an effective and necessary way that people learn and comprises the majority of learning for individuals. On-the-job training and cross-training are ways to accelerate learning in the job environment. On-the-job training is an informal but planned activity conducted by a superior or peer who shows other personnel how to perform a task or process. This is the most common form of planned training, because it can be done without taking personnel away from their other duties. It should involve time for learners to practice what they have learned, and there needs to be a follow-up session to ensure that the new information is being applied on the job. Cross-training involves training people to do their own job and someone else's job, which appeals to organizations because that person can cover someone else's work or assume a new position. Formal or informal coaching or mentoring. Coaching involves superiors giving training and feedback to subordinates on a regular basis. It is a form of learning by doing. Coaching skills can be taught to managers. Informal coaching should occur organically as personnel need or request feedback. But formal coaching should involve planning what will be taught, accounting for learner styles, and so on. Mentoring is a process of pairing an individual with a person who is further along the same career path. It can be effective at teaching not only technical skills, but also interpersonal skills. It is especially useful for helping less experienced managers grow into better managers. The mentor also learns how to impart wisdom effectively. Internal or external training courses. Training courses can be conducted in-house using employees or consultants, or personnel can be sent to off-site courses. External training is often the most cost-effective for small or mid-size organizations who don't have a large number of students needing the same training. Instructor-led training is a very popular mode of delivery. Using vendors and suppliers to provide training has increased in popularity in recent years, especially for software training. Training that results in a certification can be a significant motivator. Training offered at conventions or conferences can provide a number of classes in a short time away from the office. A good way to reinforce learning from training courses or independent study is to have a supply chain manager present a recap to a group of peers. Online training. Online training can take the form of on-demand training or virtual classroom training. On-demand training can be available on the organization's intranet site and accessed at any time by large numbers of persons at a low cost. Many younger workers prefer this method of training. A drawback is that it may not result in high retention rates. Some subjects are better retained than others, so some skills are best taught using other methods. Tests, practice, visuals, and other methods help with reinforcement. Tests and assignments can be used as proof of training. Virtual classroom training may involve a live instructor or an offline instructor who reviews assignments. The virtual space can be attended by people from all over the world. These can be internally developed classes, classes that use an outside instructor, or online college or university courses with access to lecture materials, chat rooms, and file exchange. These setups keep learners motivated at a lower cost than classroom training, but they are less good for networking and learning interpersonal skills. Evaluating training. It is important to continually improve training in any form in which it is provided. Training results should outweigh the costs of providing that training. Costs can be compared against measurements of employee retention of learning, improvements in customer service, numbers of work errors, or learning curve time for performing new processes. Benchmarking various methods can help organizations determine how to reallocate training budgets. Process analysis and improvement. Continuous improvement is directed from the top down and implemented from the bottom up. Selecting processes for improvement is a job for top management. They are accountable for the strategic direction of the company, and so it is they who decide the priority order of process improvement. Projects must be selected in harmony with overall business strategies and with the collaboration of the executive team. Management must become the driving force that gives the continuous improvement its momentum and credibility. Given this direction, a team should form that includes employees, especially those who operate within the process itself. Implementation of quality initiatives is a company-wide process or a supply chain-long process and should involve employees at all levels. The members' detailed knowledge is required to analyze weak points, suggest improvements, and implement solutions. A first step is to learn about the process in depth and define the as-is state of the process. There's a saying in quality movement, facts are your friend. You need a lot of data to manage supply chains effectively, to select processes for improvement, to map a process accurately, and to measure the progress of your process improvement initiatives toward their goals. Given an understanding of the process as it is, the next step is to analyze the process to find the root causes of inferior performance, the fundamental reasons it isn't contributing to achieving supply chain goals. The result will be a to-be version of the process that can be submitted for review and approval prior to being planned in detail and implemented. Teams will be directed by top management toward a prioritized set of initiatives. A continuous improvement team may want to do preliminary research to determine which issues or areas will be relatively fast fixes or low-hanging fruit. Success in small-scale improvement projects will help build momentum. Team members can analyze other improvement opportunities based on the perspectives of key stakeholders, such as customers, suppliers, employees, etc. As teams build expertise and confidence in themselves, they will become more proficient at using continuous improvement philosophies and tools, and will be better prepared to take on more extensive and complex supply chain processes. Here are some common CI initiatives for supply chains. Customer responsiveness. Perfect customer orders. Performance improvement by supply chain, function teams, supplier groups, etc. Increased productivity. Strategic and financial alignment. Asset management. System infrastructure. Demand planning. Logistics. Professional development of employees.